I don't know how we're going to do it today, Bill. We are action-packed, I got to tell you. And our show, The Bill and Wendy Show, starts now with this guy.
The inimitable Bobby Slayton, the pitbull of comedy, never looking better, Bobby. Wendy said it before we got on air. Everything about you, what's going on? You
look
fantastic.
Well, and I've never been happier with my new girlfriend, and I'm very worried about my career. But first, let me back up. Let me say it's a pleasure to be back on the show. You know, I've been doing stand-up comedy now for 40 years. I've done a lot of radio shows, one of my favorite shows, and yet every time I come in, I keep forgetting which one's Bill, which one's Wendy. But, when I met Siegfried and Roy, I had the same problem. Yeah, don't take it personally.
No,
I love both you guys very much.
No offense taken at all. Thank you. It's so good to see you. And the cool thing is, you're not in town promoting anything. You're not playing anywhere. You're just here.
No, I don't think, again, in 40 years, I've done a radio show without something to plug.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think I'm in Chicago if I wasn't playing Zany's Comedy Club. I don't. Oh, you know what? Let me take that back. About 10 years ago, we did a show on HBO called Mind of the Married Man.
I don't remember that. I watched it.
Well, very few people watched
it. Mike Binder.
Yeah. And it was amazing that nobody watched it because the show was on between The Sopranos and Curb Your Enthusiasm, arguably two of the greatest shows in the history of television. All right? I mean, now there's more great shows, but back then, there was no Breaking Bad, there was no West Wing, whatever. So, these two shows, I don't figure there's no way people are not going to watch Mind of the Married Man, and they didn't. It was on for two seasons. But, you know, it was based in Chicago, and I remember one of the opening shots was Gene and Georgetti's.
Right.
And I love that place, you know, the steak, the red sauce. It's such a Chicago, even in New York type, old school institution, you know.
Yeah.
So I figured it's great. We're going to be going to Chicago, shooting a Gene and Georgetti's. Not once did we step foot in the place.
Really?
And I'd been in showbiz for a long time, and I realized, but first of all, we played pool in a pool, and there was no pool table at Gene and Georgetti's, but they used that. So we came to Chicago to do some exterior shots, and we would shoot on a golf course in L.A., but it was really hard to find the golf course where there wasn't a palm tree in the background.
Sure.
There aren't too many palm trees. So, I remember when we did the Rat Pack movie, that was another thing. I'm going, we did the, when Ray Liotta played, Frank Sinatra, and I was Joey Bishop, and I go, this is great, we're going to go to Vegas, and we're going to do it. But we shot on a little depressing lot in L.A., and, with a fake audience, and,
it's the magic of Hollywood, Bobby. That's what it is.
It works.
Sure. Yeah, but anyway, my point was that 40 years, I have never been to this town without knowing that, as much as I love working Zany's, I got to eat lunch and take a nap, and there's a great wine bar. I can't drink wine now. I have two shows tonight. I got nothing to plug. Although, wait, let me take that back.
What do you have?
Next October, I'm in Zany's. I mean, as much as get out of the way.
Get your tickets now, everybody. In October, Bobby will be playing at Zany's.
Well, you know what they're doing? They're doing a, and by the way, that's my next stand-up gig. I've never taken this much time off in my life, and it's the greatest feeling. Maybe that's why I'm so happy.
You're happy, yeah.
I'm broke. I'm sleeping in somebody's basement, but I'm happy. I have no money, but who cares about money? You don't care. You're on AM radio.
Who cares about money?
Right.
Why are you so tan? Where did you go? You're very, very tan.
Well, I live in L.A., and during the day, I'm up early in the morning. Me and the girlfriend take the dogs to the park. Uh-huh. And by the way, the park we go to right down the street from my house, speaking of L.A., remember the opening of course you do, you're a 60s a nut, Andy of Mayberry, Andy Griffith Show, when they're whistling, and they walk by the lake, and they skim the rocks.
Is that where you live? Right by there?
Right by
there. That's in L.A.?
Yeah.
See? They tricked me.
We thought it was North Carolina.
Yeah.
We were so fooled.
See, there you go. It's got Gina Giorgetti. They're not really shooting in North Carolina.
Right.
I know.
Right. But when people in movies are in love, they really do fall in love, right? That's not just a vehicle for the film, right? They must really be in love.
Of course they're in love.
Good. Well, that's good news.
And my life has become like a movie. But what I was going to say to you was I'm tan because, I wake up in the morning, I work out of my little gym in my house, and then I sit in my backyard, read the paper. It's nice.
Yeah.
So when my girlfriend said to me, she's going to Chicago on business, you should go with me. And I said, I love Chicago, but, it's probably freezing. She said, no, it's April. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah, sure. She was right.
So when I booked, when we booked the tickets, she goes, I'm going on business. I'll fly you in. We'll go to Topo Gigio. We'll go to the wine bars. We'll go to all these restaurants. We'll have pizza. And I thought it'd be great. And then all of a sudden, the last 3 weeks, stand-up work came in.
Oh.
So I went to Denver, came home, went to Dallas, came home, went to San Francisco, came home, and I'm going, pack it, unpack it. So I really didn't want to come.
Yeah.
But once I got to Chicago and I woke up this morning, I love this town.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
That's
so nice to hear. It's a great place.
And we
it?
Love you, too. Chicago loves their Bobby Slayton.
I'm upset that the wine bar two blocks away is not open yet. But
later today, you can visit. Don't worry.
What I was going to tell you, if I can get one word in.
Yes. We can give you a word.
I'm excited. I'm excited about doing your show. So next October is my next stand-up gig.
2019?
What?
2019?
No, this upcoming October 18th.
Oh, okay. 2018. So, all right.
Yeah. It's, yeah,
you said next year. I'm thinking, really planning ahead.
Next fall. But it's the anniversary of Zanies, the 35th or 40th anniversary. And they're doing this month of legends of comedy. And I didn't realize I was a legend in comedy. See, let me tell you how you become a legend in comedy.
How do you do it?
Okay. Now, a legend in sports. Okay, let's say, okay, there are golfers that have played just as long and just as hard as Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. You've never heard of them.
Right.
They're not legends. And there are actors that have been active for 75 years, and they're not John Wayne. You never hear of them.
Yeah.
But with comedy, if you can last 40 years, like I have, you become a legend. You don't have to accomplish
just
anything.
Laugh.
I've won no awards. I'm a legend. I'm still alive. It's attrition. The other guys die. You know.
Did you see the Gary Shandling documentary on HBO?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you, what you thought about it.
It was, you know, it was, I knew Gary not really, really well, but when I was a young comic, I opened up for him, and Judd Apatow did a great job with that.
Can I ask you a question about it? For people who haven't seen it, they in the beginning, they explain that Gary's brother died when they were both very young.
Right.
The boys were very young, and his older brother, who's 3 years older, died. I maintain that if his brother didn't die, Gary probably wouldn't have gone into stand-up comedy because he needed something to make up for the loss of his brother. What do you think?
That's like saying, well, if Mick Jagger didn't run it to Keith Richards in the subway in London, you know, in the tube,
with the
Rolling Stones, then John Lennon. I mean, you know, when it's where you meet your wife, if this happened, that happened, you know, who knows?
Yeah, hard to say.
He might have still become a comic. He just would have been a lousy comic. I mean, I don't know.
It's possible.
But it was a fascinating special. And Gary, even if you're not a big comedy fan, I mean, that does help. But it's 4 hours long. It's two parts.
Yeah.
And to me, it was fascinating because I knew everybody in the documentary. Mm. And like I said, I've known Gary for years. But with the notes that he collected, he wrote down so many things about had nothing to do with comedy, you know, and I got to do this and I got to feed my dog and I got to be a better person. And he loved his notes. But a year before he died, he was hosting the Grammys or something. And he was coming into the Comedy Magic Club every night during my show.
Yeah.
And he would do a guest set and work on his stuff. And he'd leave me a note. You didn't get to watch you tonight. I watched a few minutes. I was falling asleep. I'll watch the rest tomorrow night. I stole a couple of great jokes from you tonight. I want to steal some more tomorrow. I need some Grammy jokes. Whatever he wrote. And it was funny little notes he would leave for me. And I have them somewhere, and I should really frame them.
Yeah.
Because
every one of them, it was just off the cuff and off the top of his head. How about
the idea that he didn't just want to be on The Tonight Show? Because that was an early idea, to be on The Tonight Show.
Right.
He wanted to host The Tonight Show.
That was fascinating to me. That was an amazing thing, because I always wanted to be on The Tonight Show, and I was lucky to get it with Johnny Carson right before he went off the air. I finally got it. All my friends had done it. You know, Dana Carvey, Kevin Pollak, all these guys I started out with in San Francisco had done it at least a half a dozen times. So I finally got it, and when I finally did the show, I think Drew Carey did it before me, Stephen Wright, and they had these great first shots. By the time I did it, I remember it was a great shot. If you go on The Tonight Show and you are not great, this is your first major television appearance. With all respect to, you know, Jimmy Fallon or all these guys, any idiot now can almost get on these shows. You know, I mean,
but back it is different. It's way different.
It's different, you know. And a lot of those shows won't put guys like me on. You know, Leno said to me many times, "Look, I'm putting Carrot Top on and this guy on because they're bringing in younger fans, the demographics." You know, it was all a business now.
Yeah.
It's like publishing companies won't give you a book deal unless you have a million Twitter followers. It's social media. It's a whole other world out there in showbiz and publishing. But anyway, so by the time I got to Tonight Show, they said to me, they called me up and they said, we think John Davidson might be hosting next week. And I said, I've waited 20 years to do The Tonight Show. This is about 1990. I said, I've waited 20 years to do the Johnny Carson Show. I'm not doing it with John Davidson or McLean Stevenson from MASH. I'm not doing it, you know, because I don't know if I'll ever get another shot.
Yeah.
And they called me up the next day. And they said, Johnny will be here next week. You do it next week. So I practiced my 5 minutes set backwards, forwards, in the shower, every comedy club, every coffee house. And it was a magnificent 5 minutes. And I knew there was no way to fail.
Right.
And the night before, I did the show. Don Rickles was on. And I loved Don. It was great. But he did a Chinese-Asian joke. And the joke just didn't work. It wasn't funny.
Yeah.
You know, one of those times that Don Rickles said something and it just fell flat.
Yeah.
So that next morning, the guy that books the show calls me up and goes, did you see Rickles last night? And I go, yeah. He goes, see that Asian joke he did? You're doing an Asian joke. Maybe you better not do it. I go, wait a second. I practiced this whole thing.
Yeah.
The joke's working everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't the day of the show.
Right.
And I did it. Of course, it was.
And it worked.
It was great.
It worked, too.
But I go home, and I think my mother called and two other people. It wasn't like you'd go home and you got a big movie deal the next day.
Right.
So they called me up and they said, Johnny Carson really loved you last night and he wants you back. And the day after that, I'm not making this up, he announces his retirement. And once he did that, everybody from big movie stars to the lady who saw faces on pretzels and cookies, right. you know, they were all coming back for
sure,
a command
performance.
So they called me up and go, look, we'd like to have you back on, but we doubt we'll get you back on because everybody wants to do The Tonight Show one more time.
Sure, of course.
And I will never forget. I'll never forget this. It's like, where were you when Kennedy got shot? I was at Zany's in the dressing room the last night of the Tonight Show, and Bette Midler was singing to him.
Yeah, what
and
a
I'm
night.
Going, I really want to be on this show again. I'm not going to be. I'm getting ready for my third show at Zany's.
You got one in. That's the key. We must take a break. Bobby Slayton is here. You can see him in October. He won't be playing here until October.
Hurry back, because I got stories for
him. All right, we've got stories from Bobby Slayton next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Comedy legend Bobby Slayton is sitting right over there, not performing in town until October. But he came in early to scout out the location, make sure everything's safe. Bobby, you had a horrible thing happen a couple of years ago. Your wife died very unexpectedly.
2 years ago, last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it was a very difficult time for you, but you have rebounded miraculously.
Well, you know, I don't. It's an interesting story because I don't know if I told you. Well, 3 months before she died, I went to one of my best friend's funeral. He's a big movie producer, and I met his widow there. They've been married 15 years. I never met her before. He was a good friend of mine, but, you know, in L.A., you don't really see each other that much. And I didn't even realize he lived 4 or 5 minutes from my house. L.A., that's like next-door neighbors.
Yeah.
So my wife passed away 3 months later, and I called her up, and I said it wasn't for a date, you know, or anything. And it took us a few months because she travels a lot. She's here on business in Chicago now, and I was traveling. So I said, we should have a drink. And there's a little jazz bar restaurant called Vibrato that Herb Alpert owns, about 2 minutes from her house, 2 minutes from my house. And we went for a drink. And I went back to my house, and my brother, who was sleeping on my couch watching my dog, you know, since my wife was gone, I said, I just fell in love. He goes, what are you, crazy? Your wife's been gone for 3-4 months. And I go, I know, it's crazy. And I called her up. She thought I was insane. I go, it's a rebound thing. And anyway, Dominique is... she's, you know, it's crazy, but we...
How you long? Must like her. You have her name on your arm.
Mean anything these days.
No?
Her real name is Mildred, but it just didn't sound... That sounds like my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, Mildred, so I changed it to Dominique.
Dominique is much
better. No, Dominique Cohen. As a matter of fact, the reason I'm here, let me plug her. Dominique Cohen, I meant that in the nicest way. The radio, in case children are listening.
Sure.
We're not married yet. But Dominique Cohen, Dominique has a jewelry business, and she was doing a thing at Neiman Marcus this weekend. She has a beautiful Beverly Hills store. She's a jeweler to the stars, although she doesn't like me to mention any of the names, and really fine jewelry, and she works exclusively at Neiman Marcus. By the way, let me plug them. A great store. I've never been into a Neiman Marcus.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice.
My whole life, there's one by my house. It's like a really nice Macy's.
Yes.
It's like if Macy's was great. Yeah. Okay, so I plugged them.
Great plug.
I plugged them.
Thank you. You know what's nice is if you ever fall in love with Dominique Wilkins, the name is already on your arm.
Dominique is already on my arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's great. And she loves the tattoo, so I just wanted to show her. This is why I don't have to go, I love you. You know, because women like to say that. She goes, I love you. Oh, yeah, I just show her my arm. Okay.
It's instead of saying I love you?
Yeah, that's too much
It work. Does mean something if your name's on somebody's appendage.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And please tell Wendy, she just stopped smoking. She just finally quit smoking.
You've November.
Been without cigarettes for quite a while as well.
Yeah.
What's the key to remaining smoke-free?
Smoke a pot instead. Yeah.
There's a
but then you'll
the
eat more pancakes. There's a downside to everything. No, I just quit smoking because I lost my voice. And my voice, like you guys, my voice is the only thing that you know, the only thing I had going for me. That's my job. So I don't know. You know what it was? I was working in Vegas. I had a one-man show in Vegas. And I just, you know, one day, you know, after a big meal, because, you know, that's one time. After a cup of coffee in the morning with breakfast.
Yeah.
If you're a smoker or an ex-smoker, you
it's
know.
It's awesome.
After a big dinner, a cigarette is just delicious. It's just delicious. So I would have
it
one.
Is.
It's delicious. And I would have one. And then I would. But anyway, so I stopped smoking for a long, long time. And, you know, I used to be a Marlboro Camel guy. And then I smoked a Marlboro Extra Light. It was hurting my throat. And I'm going, you know what? I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
But I had one. Then you have another. Then you have another. And then I lost my voice. And I said, no, never again. So that's
you quit all at once. You're never going back. You never had one every once in a while, like a booster cigarette or anything like that.
A booster
cigarette.
But I've done it over the years, you know.
Yeah,
but
gradually.
I've lost my taste for it, but you know, it's like vodka. You know, before I do a show, I gotta have a couple of vodkas. It just helps me.
Loosens you up.
If I'm not working,
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if I go to Gibson's, I'll have a martini with dinner. Don't twist my arm.
Right.
Which, by the way, we're going to go there. We're going to go to Topo Gigio. My friend Todd Stein, one of the top chefs at Formentos, Italy. Oh. I'm going to eat my way through.
You're not
this
going
time.
To Gene and Giorgetti, finally?
You have to.
We're only here for 2 days. I don't have time.
Oh.
Wherever the girlfriend wants to go. She's
Olive Garden?
Well, that goes
They'll treat you like you family.
You're like family at Olive Garden.
The chefs trained in Italy is what? Auto mechanics have tasted their sauce. It tastes like motor oil. I hope they're not a sponsor.
Not
anymore.
Yeah, they stopped. And really quick, your daughter, I know, is an actress. Is she still working? Is she still acting out there?
She's acting like, I can't say it on the radio. No, she's working, you know, she's singing, she's working.
Oh, good.
Everything is great. You know, she loves my girlfriend because my girlfriend, like I said, makes jewelry and my late wife made jewelry. So they have this connection. And Dominique, who specializes in fine feminine stuff.
Yeah.
And it does do men's stuff, but I knew she loved me when she made me this 18 karat gold skull ring.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Little blue diamonds in the teeth. And
that's beautiful.
I got to go bring her coffee. She's on her feet all day working at Neiman Marcus. And you know,
he's in love.
Bobby's in love.
I mean, how about it?
Yep. Do you know she stays on her feet all day? Skechers. Oh. She wears Skechers.
I was going to ask you about Skechers.
See, I wasn't.
Any coupons on you?
I think I might have a couple. I just did a whole
series. That's why I want Bobby Slayton to come in, you know.
Hey, Wendy, I'll be right down, okay?
Yeah, Steve Bertrand wants a coupon.
I said I had nothing to plug, but Neiman Marcus, great store, Dominic Cohen Jewelry.
Yeah?
And I think if you.
Gene and Giorgetti's?
Gene and Giorgetti's. And if you wear your Skechers, you can walk to every one of these places. You go from Gene and Giorgetti's to Topo Gigio to Formento. You can eat your way through town.
It's
buy
perfect.
Some beautiful jewelry for your wife. And
you still have the light up ones?
The light up ones. Those are specially made for me. Yeah.
He's so cute. And to listen to you two talk about toys off the air is a special moment for me.
We have the same illness.
I told you I'm going to a big monster convention next week, and it's
I'm so envious.
I have a friend flying in from Florida to go to the monster convention, but you know what? I don't really care about sports. I mean, I'll go to Yankee Stadium or Wrigley Field, you know, Fenway if I'm in these towns. I can't pass that up because of the history.
Right.
Because I remember going to all those places when I was a kid. But basically what I love is just staying home and, you know, with my monsters and my dog and my girlfriend.
Yep.
And,
did you meet Dr. Demento in the green room?
Not only did I meet Dr. Demento. I know we got to go. Not only did I meet him, but when I was in college, I went to college for about 3 months. And I lived on my grandmother's couch in Broward County, Florida. And I had nothing going on in my life, so I went to this community college, a junior college in Broward, and my grandmother would go to sleep at 9. I could start smoking dope and watching, like 10, 11 o'clock, the Little Rascals would come on, this classic TV station, whatever, and Dr. Demento would be on every night at midnight, and I'd smoke my pot, and I'd have my Bush beer, and Dr. Demento would come out and play the greatest songs, and I just went up to him, and I said, the greatest song I ever heard was, there's a new sound coming from the ground, it's a sound made by worms, by a guy named Ray Borello. And for years, I couldn't find the song. And there was no internet. I couldn't call Dr. Demento and ask. So I would go to record stores all over the country. Hey, you have the song from the old novelty record, The Sound Made by Worms?
Yeah.
And everybody thought I was insane. And then the internet came out and I found the song.
There it is.
And it was just as great. You should play that when he comes up. I bet you can find that. It's a new sound coming from the ground from 1954.
Ray Borello was his name?
Ray Borello.
All right, we'll find it.
Sound made by worms.
We'll find it. We'll play that. If you and Dominique get married, have that be the sound as you walk down the aisle.
Sound coming from the ground.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, guys.
It's Bobby Slayton, everybody. The great Bobby Slayton coming to Zany's in October.
Next October.
In October. Get your tickets now. They're going fast. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys.